Hi, Afrimilenio. I loved today's podcast with Issa Abirie. My favorite part about it was how realistic this gentleman is. The advice about keeping your hustle while you figure out your creative side and how you can eventually monetize it, as well as finding a way to balance between enjoying it and doing it, was really, really helpful. It got me thinking about very many things. When he talked about the importance of social capital, I realized that there are very many ways you can invest in your group without necessarily it being just your friends. So it had very many notes to think about, and it was truly, truly delightful to listen to. So I'm looking forward to listening to more of his poetry. I loved the sample piece. It was, wow, I just love the fact that it's in our local language. So for me, that was a cherry on top. Great work.
Most millennials have online businesses. You find like most of the work is done on the phone. Personally, I rarely put my phone down. I loved customized t-shirts. My very first was Uganda government, where are you, that Kenzo thing. Everybody said, asking, hey, where did you guys get these t-shirts? Like, I make them myself. I'm like, yeah, how can I order? Said one, two, three, four people. I was like, light bulb. We are still stuck in that whole 9 to 5 is better than the business,
yeah.
As millennials. Yeah. Being at the 9 to 5 constantly, sometimes it really hurts this business that you're trying to grow. The 9 to 5, I think why it's still taking over our side businesses is because of that fear.
Afrimillennial, the podcast, is a casual sound space for millennial creatives in Uganda and across the African continent to share their life stories. The podcast discusses a healthy balance of their professions, passions, and personal lives, and offers a bit of perspective and lessons from their life experiences. Come on, let's have fun.
Welcome everybody to Afrimillennial, the podcast, a creative sound space where we host contemporary millennial creatives to just have conversations, to get to know them better, to understand their creative processes and what keeps them going, what stops them from going. Are they single? Are they taken? And things of the sort. My name is Anthony Michael Mwami, and I'm your host on the podcast. And in the house today, we have someone that I've known for as long as I can remember, literally more than half of my life now. How long have I known you for?
If we do the quick math, do you have a calculator? Aye, calculate for us. 2022 minus 2006. The math is no longer mathing.
The math is not mathing.
We are old people now.
But I've known him for quite a while, and he has...
It's been a minute.
He's gone on to become quite something of himself. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Derek Remera.
It is I.
The CEO of Ohana Apparel. Ooh. Derek. Tusanye sokula wasewo.
Nango basanga sewo.
Ekubo olimuise mulibadirunji.
Mulibadirunji.
Hey, we wawo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Afrimillennial, the podcast.
In the house, we have also a minion that is in the background. You'll be hearing her voice every once and again. You'll probably hear a hearty laugh. She's called Ayeye. Ayeye, just scream and say hi to the people.
Okay, hi.
The voice of hangover. The voice of hangover.
It's probably Nazika hangover, but that's fine. So, for those that probably don't know about Derek, which would be very weird if you know me and you don't know Derek, because he's literally, I'm everywhere he is and he's everywhere I am. He's the CEO of a brand called Ohana Apparel.
Yeah.
And he'll be telling us a little bit more about what that does and why he decided to do Ohana Apparel and where he sees it going. So, Derek, briefly, tell us, who is Derek?
No, I don't want to tell you.
You don't want to tell us?
It feels like an interview.
Just take us through who Derek is, what Ohana Apparel is, and what you do.
Brain freeze. You know, when they ask you that question, yeah, you actually realize that you don't know who you are.
I honestly struggle with that conversation in every interview. Like, every interview I go to, they're like, so tell us who is yourself. Anthony? I'm like,
you know how you start those things?
Well,
I was born in Zambia Hospital.
No. We know those things.
We have your birth certificate, so we know. not much to tell about Derek.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, carefree guy.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, CEO.
Olimu Simbuzi. You're a certified Simblist.
My father may be the same again.
You're a certified Simblist. It's a known thing.
You know, we try to keep a low profile.
Yeah.
So, as I was saying, Tony, carefree, not Simblist, as you said, but carefree person.
Okay.
Yeah. Things that I like. Should I mention that?
Sure. What do you like? What
so many things. So many things. Music, sports, football, you know. Mm. All the things like that. Oh, and making money. Making money is a good thing.
You like to make money.
Yes. Who doesn't, though?
For a very long time, I actually thought you had, like, a future in soccer.
Oh.
I guess we all did.
We all did. It's a dream for us all, but, you know, according to some...
Did you ditch your soccer?
African parents, you know. Those things don't pay the bills. Yeah. So, really, you have to look for the things they consider to be the appropriate professions, yes.
Right. Mm. So, speaking of bills, what's paying your bills at the moment? What do you do? Ooh. What are you up to?
Right now, my employer, what people consider the 9-to-5, is Prudential Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm a sales agent there. Mm. However, it's not like really, I'm not... attached to like the offices, so it's more freelance.
Yeah,
which enables me to do my business, which is Ohana Apparel, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
That one pays most of the bills. So,
yeah,
we are located at Nasa Road, Dembele House, room 220. If you ever want to stop by.
Aba prudential ba wedeze zakarango ba gani ba wedeze zakarango.
Ochite ba ino kumsasura. Ba ino kumsasura.
Nzi. Let's
face life together.
I have a producer.
producer ye yagami.
Prudential tuli nawe.
Prudential has to pay for how many seconds of airplay, because this is a big deal.
So,
a free millennial podcast.
You said Ohana Apparel.
Yes.
And I'm curious, you also said your brand as Ohana Apparel is raking in more money than your 9-to-5, which is an odd place for a millennial to be. I know the goal for us is to get to that place where your side hustle is bringing in enough money for you to, like, wake up one day and just say, but I'm not doing this for you anymore. Mm-hmm. But we are not yet there as millennials. Like, your 9-to-5 probably brings in more money than your small side hustles. So what exactly does Ohana Apparel do that is generating as much money?
Ohana is basically printing and branding.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do branding on all. The most popular one is the t-shirts that we brand.
Mm.
We've customized like to someone's need and all that.
Mm.
That is the most popular one. Then the rest, the cups, the mugs, the photo frames, even printing in itself, like paper and all that.
Yeah.
So basically what Ohana does is anything that does with print and branding. Like, the most popular is the t-shirts that we brand, customized to each individual. Like, someone comes and tells you, I want this word on a t-shirt, I want this color, I want this.
Yeah.
So we do it. We brand them for them that particular thing that they want. Then also other things, photo frames, mugs, brand cars, things like that. So many things. Basically anything to do with printing and branding.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Then there's something you mentioned previously about young people and their insecurity on 9-to-5.
Oh yeah. The 9-to-5, I think why it's still taking over our side businesses is because of that fear. Because the reason why Ohana side earning more than my job is because I think the time I put into it. So you realize that 9 to 5 doesn't give you that leeway of... Now, one of the reasons that made me decide to, you know, stop sitting in office and all that is that you're during the day, you get your card deal. Someone is like, hey, I want something chap chap. Like, you know how, as you said, Basi Mbuzi, they have a getaway on over the weekend. They are going to Jinja. They are going for hiking. And then someone's like, it's a Thursday. And someone's like, I want t-shirts by Friday. We are going, we are setting off. So if you're on, at your desk on the computer answering emails of I hope this finds you well, it's very hard for you to coordinate. Yes, I have people that help me, but they also have their workload. You understand? So for you to tell them, Aten, I'll do this for me, sometimes you find yourself missing out on that extra money because you are busy. Even if now online businesses, because most millennials have online businesses.
Yeah.
You find like most of the work is done on the phone. Personally, I rarely put my phone down. So you find your supervisor will be saying this cowboy is ever on the phone, what. They do not understand that you're trying to make something of yourself. Yes, of course, the texting and the memes are also there, but this your business runs on the phone.
Right.
So for you to explain to them constantly, no, I was dealing with a client, it's very difficult. So what we decided, it's like, you know what, just take a leap of faith and be like, let's concentrate more on this side.
Yeah.
Since I was able to still partake in the prudential business, but as a freelancer now, it didn't require me to stay there the whole time, have to clock in by 8, leave 5 strictly.
Yeah.
You understand? At least now I deal with people again on the phone, which is much better. So the fear that... You know, when you have your salary, you know, you time, you've planned, like, on this money, rent will come from this money, internet will come from this money, this will come from this money. Here, you're not certain. A month can come if you fail to make even your rent. You understand? So sometimes people be a bit skeptical and be like, And being at the 9 to 5 constantly, sometimes it really hurts this business that you're trying to grow. That's why we are still stuck in that whole, the 9 to 5 is better than the business as millennials.
Yeah. I'm curious, what got you thinking customized shirts? What was that spark that got Ohana Apparel started?
People always ask me that question, by the way, and answer is always the same. Like, I loved customized t-shirts. There was a point where I loved wearing customized things, like, you see something that is not so common to very many people. So I'd make them myself. Like, I knew where the people, I knew where to get the t-shirts. I knew the people that would do the branding. I had a friend in designing, Emi Malevu. So he would do for me like the designings and all that. I'll be like, hey, I want these words.
Yeah.
Remember my very first was Uganda government, where are you, that Kenzo thing.
Yeah.
So we're going out. So I was like, let me just make a customized t-shirt. So we went. Actually, it was the whole gang, most of them, because I remember Amy got Semi Ekozo, Mato got enjoyment after it led to unemployment. So we all did at the same time. I was like,
And you took care of that? You took care of the whole process? Yeah,
for that. And also, I've heard, I think, Kamla Iteka Kusaidio. So we went. So everybody started asking, hey, where did you guys get these t-shirts? Like, I make them myself. I'm like, hey, how can I order? So I had 1, 2, 3, 4 people. I was like, light bulb. So I was like, oh, so this could actually work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how I got into the business.
And just like that, the idea was born.
Yeah, just like that, the idea was born.
And why Ohana?
It actually took me a long time to get a name. Like, that's one of the things that I kept procrastinating.
Those are some of the processes that I'm interested in.
And I have my little brother. When you see us together, you can't call him little. Hey, he's a creative person. He has those poetry things. What? So I was like, I'm looking for a name. What? It's like, we could... Because I love family. Everybody knows I love family. So I wanted something centered around that. So
when you say everybody knows you love family, is it like a Nick Cannon kind of
thing? Not that kind of family.
You say everybody knows I love family. I'm like, oh, bro. That
Nick Cannon doesn't love family. He loves children. just loves children.
Okay.
So I wanted something centered around that. So he came up with the idea of, let's get that, but a different language.
Yeah.
not English, probably not Luganda or any local language. So we did some research and found Ohana means family in Hawaiian. Oh, and who doesn't love Hawaii?
Yeah.
So, and it stood out basically.
Right.
Yeah. It just fit. So
nice.
That's where Ohana came from.
Nice. Yeah. So what has your experience with business been like? I know you said you're now stationed at NASA Road.
Yes.
And I know for a fact that NASA Road is like a home of so many dreams. It's like that one place where people like go and just like try out stuff, right? When they're looking to learn stuff and venture into business and everything. Would you say it has been like a smooth journey for you, like just establishing your place in there, establishing your place in a space where there's like so many creatives just stationed in one place?
Of course. I don't know who has been in business and says it's a smooth ride. It's actually, it's very, very hard because it needs a lot. It needs a lot. Working with customers, something that is customer-based is not easy at all.
Yeah.
Because customers, as you know...
Tetulibangu.
You in particular.
What's that supposed to mean, Derek?
That will be a conversation for another day. But you know how customers... And someone came up with a phrase of the customer is king. So even us who don't know where it came from...
You're struggling.
Exactly. We've learned a lot. And as you're asking about being in the same space with so many people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Because you will find that I could be dealing with someone. We're here doing the same business, but our worlds are completely different. You understand? Our worlds are completely different, whereby... In this, especially in this era, we know so many bakers, we know so many what. Someone would be like, why are you going in a business that has so many people
the same
but
thing.
They have their people, they have their...
And you have your own.
And you have your own. And sometimes we bank on disappointment, whereby someone...
You're just waiting for your competitors
exactly,
to disappoint.
So sometimes that's why we have to strive not to disappoint. in such businesses, I ordered t-shirts from here and they were lousy. It's like, hey, okay, let's give it a try. And then people come and be like, oh, my things were wonderful. It felt unique and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of the things, the uniqueness to it. Because most people in my line of business, especially t-shirts, they have like more, how do I say it? Like theirs are not customized as such. Eh? Yeah, it is, I've made this. This is available. Mine is, what do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want? You know that very
well. So that's your competitive advantage.
Yes, that's my competitive advantage, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to put others
down,
but that's what I noticed. Of course, you have to make research before you do this.
Yeah, true.
So that thing of Tony wants something tailored to only him, whereby if he's moving in the street, he's the only one having
it.
Of course, with time, some people look at Tony's idea and be like, ah, I want that one, as you not.
As I know too well.
Since you're a genius, so that's it. It is a compliment to your work.
Has it made business sense to you to like produce things customized to every individual need, as opposed to producing in bulk like your other competitors are doing? Are you breaking even with that business model?
The beauty about this is. Actually, the breaking even you don't need it. Because remember, if you're doing according to the customer specification, I don't have that whole vibe of I need to now buy 100 t-shirts, then put all this, spend money doing all this on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happens is you find yourself, you're not so far off. Eh?
Yeah.
You understand? You're not so far off from the profit margin, because you're doing according to what this person wants.
Yeah.
Yeah, because unlike doing mass production will entail you to have so many t-shirts available, to have so many things printed on the t-shirts, which are costs. You understand? Yeah. Of course, that is where I would like to go after some time, whereby you can have your tea shop in Acacia, maybe.
Okay.
With some of your products, yeah, where people can, the walk-ins.
Yeah.
Because right now, it's about who knows you,
mm-hmm,
or who has referred this person to you. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But at least if you have like a shop, that's when you can do the mass production.
Yeah.
But we are not there yet.
You're not yet there yet.
Yes. So this, because this one was a bit of, we're still in the starting phase, I could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in your starting phase, do you ever experience irate customers, like customers that are just crazy angry, or like,
is that a rhetorical question?
Like unreasonable customers, right? So how do you deal with that? Because I know that a lot of millennials have to deal with that. Like, I know for a fact that we still need, like, a few of us need to good training on customer service, right, and giving good customer experiences. But I know for a fact that you have a background in customer experience.
Yes.
So as someone who I know for sure is at the lower end of like pissing off customers, do you still experience irate customers after giving excellent service, and how do you deal with that?
You would be a god for you to be in business and not have a irate customers.
Yeah.
There are, but it's human nature.
Yeah.
Some people are just impossible to please.
Yeah,
some people are just impossible to please. Some, because there are those who are biased.
Yeah.
Even before you do the work.
Mm-hmm.
I had a customer once. He was like, is your material good?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes, it's good. It's like, send a picture. So in my head, I was like, how do you send a picture of material? I thought material is something you have to feel.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I sent a picture of the t-shirts, like some of the work that I had done before.
Right.
No, I want a picture of the material. I'm like, I cannot. Material is felt. Material is felt.
Yeah.
So as soon as I finished the t-shirts, he finally accepted. Mm-hmm. They sent it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this thing is not good. So I was like, to be honest, you are biased from the word go.
Yeah.
Because when he saw the pictures, he was like, I don't think this material is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the person who had referred him really praised it and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I told him that. I told him point blank. I was like, you know what, sir?
Yeah.
I think you were biased from the beginning, mm-hmm, because you told me to send you pictures of material. I told you can't. When I did work, I don't know if it was because of what I had said earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, immediately. It was like, so I was like, it's okay, you can return it. And funny enough, you know how I usually save customers? Mm. Like their numbers, just to keep the communication going. So automatically you start viewing their statuses.
Mm-hmm.
This very person who was complaining about the material was proudly wearing it.
Yeah.
Not on one, not on two occasions.
But multiple.
So I was like, okay, this bad material is going places.
Yeah.
And some of them forget, because they come back.
Right.
They come back after disturbing you. But as you said, with our background in customer experience, after sale, it really helped. It was amazing because the people we dealt with back then.
Very terrible.
But now at least it helped give us that sense of, you know, that customer management and all.
True.
Yeah. But there are still very many. It's just about, don't give fire with fire.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they are rude to you, either you stop the conversation, or if they say they have a complaint, you know, those magic words, I'm sorry. You try to manage them in different ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned something around you having your own people, and like your other competitors also have their own people that they serve.
Yes.
And I'm one of those people that know like 4 or 5 people doing the same thing. Like, I know probably like 12 bakers and then like 6 people doing t-shirts and then like 8 fumigators and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they're all like your friends, right?
Yes.
So how do you deal with someone close to you opting for an alternative option, like to do work and everything? How, especially if they work with you before and also after?
We usually have this argument a lot.
Right.
And I tell people, there's really room for everyone. There's room for everyone. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you understand that I have friends have how many bakers, as you said.
Yeah.
At some point, if you're to support your friend, why would I be annoyed?
Right.
Yes, because this is what we also do.
Yes.
Because when I'm choosing bakers, I'll first maybe look at the price range.
Right.
What does this one want?
Right.
Or I say, yeah, today I supported so-and-so, tomorrow let me support so-and-so, tomorrow let me, like that. You can balance it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. If they come to you, and they love your stuff and can't go to other people, it's a bonus for you. But if they try out other people, it's also okay. It's allowed. Being selfish is not good.
Right.
It brings so much unnecessary drama.
Yeah.
So bought a t-shirt from, can you imagine? Who are you?
I know like a lot of people were into like Kuyiriba and like pursuing their own hustles, especially like in creative spaces. Their parents struggle with grasping or understanding what it is exactly that you're up to. They're like, what are you up to? What are you doing? How do your parents take to like this whole business that you do? Are they like supportive? Do they truly understand what it's like? What's that like? What's the relation between like your parents and your business
when it comes to business?
Of
course, as you've said, it's very hard for especially African parents when it comes to things about being creative or talent, basically talent. It's not something that they sit well with,
just like your football.
My football dreams, the way they died out, just playing with your high school friends, and that is it. They came around because, of course, ideally, every parent, you know, if you don't get the doctor, lawyer, engineer, those ones, then they'll be looking at things like accounting, maybe, procurement, things like that. And if those fail, they are still not comfortable.
Right.
I think it's with that thing of you want to, hey, man, how you know, or you know, need doctor, or you need engineer, those things, things like that. So if you take that away from them, but you just need to show them that you're actually working. Because usually, I've had chats with my dad, my mom. Because even remember registering the company, my mom came and told me, yeah, you know, these NGOs, they can give you gigs. So she gives me advice here and there. Same with dad. He has been in business for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he will also tell you that, hey, get your niche. They still don't comprehend it. Because, you know, it's very difficult for you someone to comprehend. Like, my friends will love the business because they also like customized T-shirts. Like, as a generation, will be like, ah, this is a good idea, you understand? Because they all do it. But for them, it's not something they would go for probably back then. But then they realize that, they say, I think, of course, with you posting, getting gigs here and there, they'll be like, oh, this can actually work, you understand?
Probably one of my last questions before I let you go. Where do you see Ohana Apparel like moving to? What's your plan for Ohana Apparel beyond just like now? Is it something to get you through like now, or do you have like bigger plans to expand it?
Of course, we have the bigger plans. The person has to dream, right?
Yeah, true.
There are bigger plans. When you sit down and you analyze, you'd be like, you'd actually want this to be. Okay, not overstating it, but like the next Versace, next Gucci, something like that. You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get, okay, that's too big.
You can know.
Of course, but something like that, like that element of where you know you have your stores here and there, your chains, what, whereby your household name, when people think branding, they think Ohana.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the end goal, of course.
I get you. Given that you're in a place where your side business is raking in more money than your 9-to-5. Wouldn't it make sense for you to like just let the 9-to-5 go and take on Ohana altogether?
As I said, the 9-to-5
gives you the security.
I wouldn't call it also 9-to-5 because remember I'm a freelance.
Yes.
So I can do all of it while at my
station. So you're okay with why it is? It's not like costing you much.
Yeah, it's not like costing, like it didn't necessitate me. And COVID kind of helped because now people understood that you don't need to be in office to have a meeting.
Yeah.
So with the introduction of Zoom things, so in case I'm needed, even before I reach town office, I can still have the meeting from home. Yeah, so that's why the two of them can coexist at the moment.
I get you.
Yes.
I get you. what Ohana offers, like around the t-shirts.
Oh, Akabei.
And yes, Akabei.
Oh, we are very cheap.
Or do we DM for price? we're also no, happy to DM for price.
No, don't DM for prices. Your listeners probably don't have my number, so yeah.
They could DM you on social media.
Oh yes, they can DM me. Ohana UG 20 for all social media sites.
Yeah.
Except Snapchat.
You're not on Snapchat?
I'm individually, but
you guys have like a fans only account.
You wish, wouldn't you? Only fans for men don't usually work out that well.
Ah.
Oh. And I don't think an only fans for Hannah.
You know work. This because
It's okay,
Derek. The prices.
The prices, the t-shirts, the collarless, 40,000, the collar, the 50, sweatshirt, 60, and jumper, 70.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant. These are like competitive rates, right?
Yeah, competitive rates everywhere.
Beautiful. Yes. Beautiful.
If you talk to me well, if you sweet talk, we can make an arrangement. And
in your parting words, what has been that one business lesson that you've picked out of the time that you've been running Ohana that probably millennials start planning to start out their own thing would pick from you? Has there been like that one maybe customer experience that left you not the same? Or, you know, like just learnings on how to run a business that you've picked up along the way?
I listened to one of your thingies, your podcasts, and one was talking about the money bit.
Yeah.
For most, I think we need to learn how to handle customers when it comes to money.
Right.
Yes. Put sometimes the fact that customers are friends, you put the friendship and the business aside.
Yeah.
You separate them because you actually lose friends.
Right.
You find the person, even if it's small, 40K one t-shirt, demanding them for a whole year.
Yeah.
So you look at this person, even if they had come to you for help at some point, it becomes difficult because you still have it. And so it's good to
separate them aside.
Yeah,
has it cost you in the past?
Oh, it has really cost me.
It has really cost you.
Me. Yes, a lot.
Well, you see, a lot of Derek's friends are my friends, so I'm not about to ask him to share like examples or anything.
This particular one, you do not know. It's a completely different person who you don't know, but...
We won't castigate them. It's fine. It's okay. Them. Thank you so much.
But I always bite your ear.
Okay. And that's what she said. But... Oh! Okay.
PG people, PG.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Derek, for
thank you, Tony,
the time.
For having me.
Guys, it was an honor just hosting Derek. Also, it's like I have a lot of sentimental value to this episode because I've known Derek for like more than half my life, really. And anybody that's interested in reaching out to him, please just check out Ohana UG20, on all social media platforms. Reach out to me personally. I'm also happy to share his contact if it's business purposes. Because I also Dawa as a promotions manager of sorts for Hana, but I've not yet
we are still in the works for that.
It's okay. Or if you're interested in like one-on-one meetings, this guy is a frequent in like the Kusimbla places. Just
lies. Those are
I'll
lies.
Give you his schedule, guys.
Lies. I love my bed.
And when you're done checking out Ohana UG20, please don't forget to also check out AfriMillennial on all social media channels.
Like and subscribe.
Just like, subscribe, leave a comment, share.
Yeah.
Share feedback on how you think we're doing because that's something that I would really, really, really love to hear from you. It means like the world to us.
Speaking of sharing, when you're in business, please be open-minded.
Okay.
Accept feedback.
Accept feedback.
Yes.
True.
Some people don't know. A person tells you your product is bad and then you start complaining.
True.
What? Hey, babe. No, listen.
They should embrace feedback. Yes. Should embrace feedback.
So, me as me, I love AfriMillennial. The mics were fixed. So, we are now Kawa. Producer, don't put in the...
It's only like a technical thing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, guys, thank you so much again for making the time. You'll be hearing from AfriMillennial, the podcast. Last minute shout outs to my amazing producer, Sheme Agabo, who makes all of this magic happen. And brilliant voicing from Angela Hilda Kemirembe for the podcast. Till next week. Cheers.
Which podcast?
Bye.
Which voice does Angela
do? I said bye.
Why? Tell me.
I said bye.
Angela, come and explain yourself.